Hey yo, back with you on The Leader, Dieter Kurtenbach, until 10 p.m. This is KNBR Tonight, and he is Jake Hutchinson of KNBR.com, our intrepid 49ers beat reporter, who joins us now on the UMA guest line. Jake, how's your short week going?
I'm good. It's nice to be back from Dallas for a second. Nice and cool out, but not weirdly freezing like it was down there. So, yeah, it's nice to be back.
Well, don't worry. You'll get your freezing just yet up in Green Bay. Let's first go through the injury report, if you could so indulge us. What do we need to know from 49-49 today?
Oh, there's plenty. As always, Jimmy Garoppolo has sustained a new injury. And, you know, it's, as usual, Kyle Shanahan's initial evaluation that, you know, it'll probably be fine or whatever. You know, and then Garoppolo talks today and he goes, yeah, it's just as bad as the thumb, so that's an encouraging
inspiring confidence left and right, Jimmy Garoppolo is. Fred Warner's going to play, though? He sounds good?
He's a maniac, and, yeah, it sounds very likely he's going to play. He's pretty confident. Said his MRI came back clean, that basically it's the ankle sprain he had against, I think, the Bengals, and he played through the second half with that. So he feels pretty good he's going to play through that. And then the rest of the stuff is, you know, Ambry Thomas also had a knee injury, which Kyle Shanahan, in typical Kyle Shanahan fashion, again, turned just a bone bruise, which I've had a bone bruise on my knee, and I'll tell you, it doesn't feel like something that you just say it's just a bone bruise, but I guess, you know, football players are different than us, so that's new. And then you've got the usual...
Bosa's still in concussion protocol? Is that
the... Yes, yes. Bosa is still in concussion protocol. I'd suspect that he probably doesn't end up practicing this week, and that's the trickiest one, right? You know, because he could be out, you know, the middle of this week or in 2 weeks, like, or, you know, just for game. Like, there's no real way to know. So as of today, he's not practicing. And then there's, you know, other guys that are limited still, Aziz, Greenlaw, Marcel Harris, Elijah Mitchell, and then, you know, Warner's limited.
Okay. Meanwhile, on the Packers side, it sounds as if everyone they've ever had in the history, Bart Starr is apparently active for this game. They're going to bring Brett Favre out of retirement, though, given certain financial things, he could probably use the money. Let's talk about Mr. James Richard Garoppolo. There is a really strange thing that seems to happen with the San Francisco 49ers, and I'm not insinuating anything nefarious here, but there does seem to be a direct connection between Jimmy plays poorly, Jimmy was injured, and
oh man,
this new shoulder injury. Apparently, he said it was just as bad as his thumb injury. Which, by the way, we have no idea how severe the thumb injury is. It has been labeled by Jimmy Garoppolo himself as both excruciating and no big deal. So,
right.
What do we know about this shoulder that he has going on right now? And I don't know, at a certain point, has there just been too much crying wolf to really put any stock in anything that's coming out of there?
So, two things. One, somebody tweeted out that, you know, basically after Garoppolo missed a throw that, oh, it's going to come out that he has an injury after the game. And the fact that that came true is very on brand. And also just personally, as somebody who continually injures themselves in new and inventive ways.
Yeah, you do.
I do sort of empathize with Jimmy. It's just weird. It's like it's
uncanny,
it's
for
comical.
Sure.
Like the way it happened is Jimmy said, "Yeah, I was a little worried about the thumb, so I was going down to fall, tried to protect myself. Because I was trying to protect my thumb, I landed on my shoulder." Yeah, and he hurt his shoulder because he was trying to protect his thumb. That's not great. So,
well, next week he'll get concussed because he's trying not to fall on the shoulder or the thumb. And I believe this is the kinetic chain that I've heard so much about?
I think so, man. Because I don't know. Every week it's something new, and it's only, you know, after a bad game that something was bothering him. It's never just a bad game. He had, you know, something going on, but he straight up
blamed it, didn't he? Like, he straight up blamed the second half on the shoulder, right?
He said it bothered him, and Kyle said, "I don't think it had any effect.
Dr. Kyle.
You know, I don't know, man. It's something where Kyle just casually Monday says, yeah, Jimmy has a shoulder sprain. We're all like, oh, of course Jimmy has a shoulder sprain. Why wouldn't right. Jimmy have a shoulder sprain that, you know, didn't come out after the game? It's just weird. And it's, you know, it's something where I don't know what to make of it. You know, you never know. Is it really serious? Is it, you know, you never know with this guy and this team. So I don't know. We'll find out.
Well, people who want to read into things like this will say, oh, it's just to protect his trade value. But the reason they're trading him is because he can't stay healthy. And so I don't know how that's supposed to help your trade value. It's like, oh, yeah, you know that thing that we're concerned about? Still happening at, like, an right. incredible rate.
It is sort of a philosophical question, right? Like, does it hurt your – but really, though, like, does it hurt
no,
your trade
right.
value more if you play – bad just because you're bad, or does it hurt your trade value more if you play bad because you're injured, but you're also injured a lot? So, like, you know, I guess the 40, if it's a conspiracy that they're like making up injuries, which I don't think is true, if that's what people believe, then the 49ers are thinking that, hey, he's just super injury prone. Don't worry about it. He's only bad when he's injured, which is a lot.
All the time. Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, that it's deep. I mean, I think that Seneca and Cicero were writing about this stuff back in
right.
the era before football. I mean, these are the deep questions that are eternal. We talked to Jake Hutchinson of KMBR.com here on the Classics Hour on The Leader. We will not be doing the Richard Hightower Special Teams Hour bit anymore because, my God, it's gotten worse, Jake. I didn't think the special teams could get worse, but that was really bad against the Dallas Cowboys, and thank goodness they played a team that was essentially made up entirely of 49ers special teams. Like that the entire Dallas Cowboys are just coached by Richard Hightower. That's the only explanation. He's shadowing with that job too. Did Hightower say what I read he said today? Did he really say that?
So, you know, from the press box, you get a pretty – you're, like, at an angle, basically in, like, the back right pylon.
This is in Dallas, yeah.
Right. And on the fake punt, you could see clear as day, everyone on the defense is locked in. They're aligned in a way where they're actually expecting a fake because it's not a typical punt block situation. You've got Fred Warner out there, Jimmy Ward's out there. It's like they're sort of, like, expecting a fake to come.
They were safety.
Except for Josh Norman, who completely turns around, is not even looking at the punter. And, you know, Richard Hightower says today, yeah, just a good route. Just a good route, which, I mean, if you want to credit the route, fine. But Josh Norman's just not even looking at the play. And then the other thing you could argue, hey, like maybe you put like two gunners out there. I don't think you do because if you're expecting a fake,
well,
then,
Jake, Josh Norman, Josh Norman was the gunner. He was gunning after right. that play. That it's obscene.
It's really astonishing, and it's something where it's like, so Hightower has to be lying, right? Because it's clear as day that Norman just right. He wasn't looking at the punter. He's the only player on the defense, very clearly, who's not looking at the punter, and it's like, oh, he just made a mistake. And so Hightower is saying, well, he just got beat, which is false, and either he's lying, which obviously he has to be. Otherwise, he doesn't realize that Norman wasn't even looking at the play, which is obviously like a fireable offense if he doesn't see that. So he just has to be lying about it, and I don't really understand what value you get out of that, you know, as opposed to just pointing out the obvious fact that, you know, Norman, you know, messed up. So
he's
I don't
done, right? Like
they
can't keep Hightower after this year, considering how it's all gone, right?
I mean, the thing is, like, he's close friends with Shanahan. Like they went to Texas together. So I think, like, logically, someone should be like, yes, it's been a very bad special teams year, and we haven't really ever been good at special teams. Logically, we should hire a more experienced candidate who has just, even if, like, and Kyle's whole thing is just like, let's not let special teams just kill us. Like, he doesn't even want special teams to be good. He just wants them to not kill us. And plays like that have happened all year long. So I think Hightower probably has to go. He's a nice guy, but the special teams unit has been horrendous this year.
I'd say they should hire somebody like John Fossil, Bones Fossil, who's done it for years. But, again, he was the worst special teams coordinator on the field on Sunday with that fake punt followed by the stupidest play I've seen in the NFL in a very long time, except it was, in the playoffs in the fourth quarter. Just some real galaxy brain stuff happening on that field. And Jake, I mean, it goes without saying, but we're going to say it anyway. Like, if the Niners do what they did against the Dallas Cowboys, they're going to get run. I mean, they're just going to get absolutely abused.
Yeah.
It was a great first drive, as they so often are for this team. Then they got off script, and it was still pretty good for the first half, and the defense was playing great. But they had a 23-7 lead in the fourth quarter, and damn it if Dallas didn't have a really good chance. Like, a competent team would have taken the chance to not just tie, but win that game in the final seconds. Is it all just something that can be cleaned up? Your column after the game was absolutely fantastic in that the identity of this team might just be that they're weird. Is weird an asset or a detriment at this point, if that is indeed their philosophy, if that is indeed their identity? Is it a detriment or a benefit going into a game against the Packers?
Hey, we'll find out. it's so unpredictable, right? Because, I literally was typing out and saying out loud, like, wow, Jimmy Garoppolo has played a near perfect, and
yes,
he overthrows Brandon Ayuk.
He was incredible.
And,
and then it just all fell apart.
Right. And then he makes this great play. He escapes a pocket. He gets out. He has, I think it was Trent Sherfield, mm-hmm. and he waits, and you're like, throw it. And then he waits, and you're like, throw it. And then he throws it, and it's intercepted in the 49ers' own half. And you're just like, what? Like, do you enjoy this? Like, some part of his psyche, you have to imagine, enjoys the chaos of it all, because it's just so unbelievable that it happened so consistently. So I don't know if their ridiculousness is an asset in terms of, like, just game to game, but I think cumulatively, like, the fact that they've been in so many bizarre scenarios, they've overcome so much weirdness to get to this point, I think is an asset. And Kyle Shanahan, I think, said it today that it's helped us get to this point, just being through so many weird, bizarre things that a lot of it, most of it, you could say, is probably of their own doing. Like, I can't remember, aside from, like, the Colt McCoy game, they've just been outright beaten. Like, most of it has been them doing something clearly wrong over a sustained period, or just something so egregious that it's like weird errors. It's never like, oh, the other team was just better. That reminds me of, like, the Bills game in 2020 where they just got mm-hmm. beaten. They're like, well, that was weird. Okay. And that,
that
doesn't happen a lot
like
them.
That. Yeah, exactly.
Right. But you're right. If they play sloppy against the Packers, I don't see a way they can possibly win. It's just Aaron Rodgers is way, way, way too good. He rips apart every single coverage there is. And, I think the 49ers can do a lot against the Green Bay defense, even if, Jair Alexander gets back. I don't think that's the problem. I think it's obviously Rodgers, and I think it's something where you got to just sort of, in coach speak terms, just play sound coverage and just sort of pray. And, he's going to gash you for yards. And I guess just try and hope you can stuff him in the red zone and force him to take field goals as much as possible.
That means that you expect a shootout, and it's Aaron Rodgers versus Jimmy Garoppolo in a shootout. Is that what you're suggesting here? That's the best case scenario.
I didn't say Rodgers versus Garoppolo. You might have the 49ers running for 200 yards in a shootout.
There's
a lot of ways you can shoot. You can shoot from a low angle, and I'm talking Elijah Mitchell, Debo Samuel bouncing off tackles. There's a lot of ways to do it. So, yeah, I think that could be the way this plays out. And I love high scoring games in cold weather. And I don't know if it's going to be super high scoring, but I think, it's going to be fun. There's going to be some chunk plays either way. Like, that's how the 49ers score most of their touchdowns and how they're so efficient in the red zone. It's pretty much all Debo. That's an area they sort of struggled. And this year, they're the most efficient team in the red zone, largely because of that. So
yeah,
should be interesting. Should be interesting. It's I don't know how you really defend against Aaron Rodgers other than just, you know, praying.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
That's kind of where I'm at this point. I mean, he's playing perfect quarterback right now. And you mentioned the red zone aspect of things. That's something that Green Bay is not particularly good at and probably has taken even a more significant step down. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but Robert Tonyan, their tight end, who tore his ACL earlier in the season, he was their dude. He won fantasy football championships just being like this great red zone tight end who could find the gaps, and him and Rodgers had a good thing going. And without him, it's been a little wonky. They still have Devontae Adams, who's as good as any receiver in the league, if not unquestionably the best receiver in the league. They have two good running backs, including Aaron Jones, who is as good an all-around running back as there is in the game. Sorry to Christian McCaffrey, but like Aaron Jones stays on the field even when he's injured in injured years. It's a pretty special offense, especially if Bakhtiari is there at left tackle and Price is there at right tackle. I mean, they got some dudes. I mean, can the Niners even win this game? Can they even be in this game if Nick Bosa doesn't play?
Yeah, I think they can.
Okay, how? But,
okay, well, you asked two different questions. Can they be in this game and can they win this game? I don't think they can win this game without Nick Bosa unless literally everything else is perfect. Like, unless, like, Garoppolo can't ever miss, like, that Ayuk throw, in my opinion, no. If Bosa doesn't play. But you saw, you know, the 49ers defense was getting pressure without Bosa in the second half. But that's also against a fairly inept team, like a team that was just – you saw, like, if you watch – I was watching the Cardinals game from 2 weeks before that, and Tyron Smith was getting cooked. Like, he's a Hall of Famer, but he is not himself. Their left guard is horrendous. I forget what his name was, 52. He was getting worked. Like, this was not the offensive line that it was built up to be for the Cowboys. The Packers, I think, are more sound. Of course, you're still going to have a DJ Jones, like one of those rushes where he lays out the center and just pressures the QB. But, you know, that's not a super viable game plan without Bosa. So I think, yes, they can be in the game without Bosa. And to win, it's threading a really tight needle. And I think if he's back, obviously, yes, they can win.
Okay, let's talk about Garoppolo here. Sorry, we got to swing it back to this guy. I mean, he's such an interesting character at this juncture with all the injuries and such, and then take it one step beyond the fact that he's being very open now, that this is his last season. What we've known deep in our hearts all year is now being admitted to sideline reporters and announcers in pregame meetings, and I guess to Kyle Juszczyk as well via Albert Breer. everybody knows what is now always been known, which is that this is Jimmy's last go-around. And a big part of this season for the 49ers, in fact, I would argue too large of a part of this season for the 49ers, has been all about Jimmy's trade value and what they can get for James Richard Garoppolo. And part of the injury conversation seems to be tied to that. We'll leave that aside. I'm seeing reputable people saying that they can get a first-round pick. I talk to other people and say that no one's going to give up a pick for Garoppolo in the one-year contract that he still has remaining at the end of the year. And I'm sure that those opinions might completely change from the people they're coming from based on the first half versus second half of the game that we're talking about or talking during. So no one really knows. That's the Jimmy Garoppolo experience. But Jake Hutchinson, you're a man who cuts through the nonsense. Do you think the Niners can get a first-round pick for Jimmy Garoppolo?
I think it's unlikely, but I think it's possible. And it is really dependent on situation. I think it was Peter King who said if they win, they can get a first-rounder for him, which I personally don't think many franchises are looking at this game and saying, like, yeah, if Jimmy plays okay.
If he only beats the Packers, we might consider it, you know? Come on.
Right. I mean, if he plays lights out, then okay, maybe that's compelling. But like, that's, you know, it's always like a game plan thing, and you know, so I guess that's on the table. I guess my thing is more the things that are working for him right now is that it's a very weak quarterback class, and a lot of people are looking at this class and saying basically like none of these top guys would even have gone in like the first, some of these like top guys you could argue wouldn't have gone in the first three rounds last year. I think that's probably overstating it, but it's a weak QB class, and I think most people agree on that.
Yep.
The other thing is this really all depends on how the other quarterbacks around the league basically pan out. Does Rodgers leave Green Bay? Does Russell Wilson leave Seattle? Mm-hmm. Does Deshaun Watson leave Houston? What does Derek Carr do? That, I think, depends on how all that shakes out. That really sets the price. That sets the landscape. And if those guys don't move, especially Wilson, especially Rodgers, Watson, I don't really want to talk about him. Yeah, it's a gross situation. But if those two guys don't move, like, and teams are desperate, you know, you've got teams like Pittsburgh, Washington, Denver, like maybe even Cleveland. Some of these teams that are like basically they have winning rosters, ready to win now. And I'm like, if they look and they can't get the premium quarterback and they say, all right, we're just like a decent quarterback away from at least definitely making the playoffs, like they're going to look at Garoppolo and be like, we can make the playoffs with this guy, and then who knows? Who knows what happens? And so, yeah, maybe if, like, Rodgers and Wilson don't move, someone says, you know what, we're going to give you our, you know, basically playoff first-round pick that, you know, whatever. You know, this is our window. Let's do it now. Now, do I think that's prudent? No. But it's a deal where I think they can work it. You know, they can turn it into like a 1-1. So that way the cap hit this year or this upcoming year is maybe not as damning as it looks on paper. So yeah, I think it's possible. I think more likely in that situation, it would be like a second rounder. I think the most likely bet is that like he goes for a third rounder, but the 49ers obviously want more than that. So we'll see. But I think it's really dependent on those other three guys, other four guys getting moved or not. And, you know, again, it helps that it's a weak, you know, rookie quarterback class. So we'll see. And I mean, betting on somebody getting desperate for just even a decent quarterback, it's not the worst bet in the world.
Well, we've certainly done that more than a few times here on KBR tonight, just gotten desperate and taken anyone we can get. Jake Hutchinson does not qualify under that standard. That is for absolute sure. You mentioned that the Niners should be able to run the ball against the Packers. I'm seeing that too. Obviously, it'd be more towards the outside than the inside, just given the personnel that Green Bay has, even with that being very much in flux for the better for the Packers. What other advantages do you see for the Niners going into this game? Where else do you see Green Bay as susceptible?
I really like the matchup of Ambry Thomas on Devontae. Sorry, I had to. sorry, he's actually been playing fine.
No, Thomas has been good.
Rip on.
I think you could put prime Deion Sanders on Devontae Adams, and he'd still go for like 5 and 65.
Oh, he's nuts. I think. Obvious advantages anywhere is you look at Trent Williams, that's always going to be advantage. Mm-hmm. But I just looked at, you know, I was watching the Cleveland game and they basically ran that sweep, that shotgun sweep that the 49ers run with Debo. Mm-hmm. And I just see it was, I think, with D'Ernest Johnson and went for 20 yards or something. And it was a play where I'm like, Debo is taking that for 60 and a touchdown.
No
so I see that if they can get to the edge with Debo, that's a huge advantage to me. Obviously, Debo at the edge is threatening any time, but it showed up a couple times against the Browns where they just kind of got torched. And that was sort of the only reason that game was theoretically close is because the Browns just kept churning out yards on the ground while Baker Mayfield tried to throw as many interceptions as he possibly could. And then defensively, I don't know if it's a huge matchup, the offensive line versus the 49ers defensive line, but I just want to point out how well they played in that second half without Bosa. You know, the fact that every single one of those guys is creating pressure. Charles Amenihu, who has quietly been like one of the most efficient pass rushers in the NFL this season. Like, if you look at the advanced stats, like his win rates are crazy, top 50. His pressure rates are top 50. Like, he's quietly a very effective guy. So I think the 49ers, you know, man, they got to really be perfect, especially against especially if Bosa does not play. But they've got guys that can just play sound and hope for the best on defense. And I think they're going to be able to run the ball and do what they do on offense. I'm not sure how many teams can really stop that, let alone Green Bay. So it's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be more entertaining than Dallas, which, you know, that's probably on the fault of both teams in the second half, just sort of falling apart there.
Dallas was a preposterously entertaining game. If you're a weirdo like me, like
that's fair.
That was a real sickos matchup for sure. The way that those two teams were playing down the stretch, who won it at least was truly the name of the game that day. I don't know, man. Are you just? There was a good vibe, a good feeling around this team going into that Dallas game. What are you picking up right now, just RE vibes with this Niners team right now? Understanding, of course, this strange Zoom era that we live in and the limitations of that.
Yeah, I mean, going into Dallas, I was extremely confident they would beat the Cowboys just watching the tape. Like, the Cowboys look like a bad team and are a bad team. Really talented bad team. That's what they are. Really, really talented, really poorly coached team. So I was really confident they would beat Dallas, and I'm not surprised by the result. I'm also not surprised it got close because Jimmy almost threw the game away. That's all super on brand. This is the vibe, if we're assessing the vibe, it's definitely in favor of Green Bay, in my opinion. And it's not anywhere near how I felt about the 49ers beating Dallas, but I definitely lean Green Bay at this point. We'll see how the week plays out. If they get Bosa back, hey, maybe the vibe switches back to the 49ers. I also don't know what songs they're playing in the tunnel. That would help me sort of assess the vibe a little bit more. Because, you know, it was the box last year with Roddy Ricch. I don't know what they're playing in the tunnel now. It makes the vibe assessment a little tougher. So, yeah, okay. I'd say the vibe is
what
slightly
should they
in favor
be playing
of Green
in
Bay.
The tunnel, Jake? What would be a banger that would make you feel good?
Honestly, man, I don't have a good answer for you. I've been listening to weird stuff, like Grimes from like 2006.
Wow,
so
deeply weird.
It's good, but it's weird. So it's not the best. It's not the best tunnel music.
Bjork. That would weird some people out, man. If you just like started playing Bjork or something coming out of the tunnel.
That's true. I mean, give me Duke Deuce. You know, a big man with really shifty moves. If anyone is familiar with Duke Deuce, just a great rapper, large dude, moves, just got light feet. So that would be my tunnel music.
It's the Trent Williams of rap.
Oh, like actually, though, I'm pretty sure he's from Texas, too.
Yeah. Hey, that seems to work for me because it's Trent Williams and Debo leading the team out, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't think they're rocking to like Simon and Garfunkel, even though Sound of Silence would be like totally awesome.
No, and honestly, the one thing I missed this season is that Mike McGlinchey, he used to be right behind him, and they would all be dancing, and Mike is like, and I felt it, because, like, Mike is there nodding his head, and I think he's into it, too, but it's just like, you know, he doesn't know how to dance to that. Like, I don't know how to dance
limitations.
To that.
And, yeah.
Yeah, so I missed that part of it, but, yeah, give me Duke Deuce in the tunnel.
Okay, good to know. You excited for Green Bay?
I am. We're, you know, going to take our little trek up there, stop in Milwaukee for some beers, hopefully, and freeze our souls off.
Yeah, no, we're going to come back after some good cryotherapy, and we'll see how many years we added with that cryotherapy and how many years we took off with all those sweet, sweet Miller Lights that they got pouring up there.
Oh, yeah.
So looking forward to it immensely. Always appreciate you coming on, man, and I guess I'll see you at the end of the week in person.
Sounds good, man. Talk to you later. Appreciate it.
Adios. Jake Hutchinson of KNBR.com. He's always trending now on KNBR.com. It's where you can check out all his stuff. You can also follow him on Twitter at Hutch Diesel, which is ironic because he is not a big man from Texas who is light on his feet. And I have never heard Jake rap, but I certainly am not. Hell, I think we're driving up from Chicago to Green Bay together. I'll get him to rap. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to catching you guys on the other side. Some great conversations still to come on the show. More 49ers talk. You know what's coming, and we'll break down the Warriors game against Detroit, which we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it on the other side. Curtin Buck with you until 10 on the Sports Leader.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone's senior writer, Brian Hyatt.
Now, here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.